what was causing the problem. And they became confused about it. And they thought, just maybe the day of judgment has come. And if it's a day of judgment, then we need to adjourn. One of the members of that House of Representatives was Colonel Davenport. And as he looked the situation over, he spoke. And he said, look, if the day of judgment is approaching, then we don't need to go anywhere. Now, if it's not approaching, then forget it. But if it is approaching, I'd rather be found doing my duty than to running off someplace. So let's bring the candles in so we can have light and go ahead with our business. Now, that event took place May 19, 1780, about 4 years after the Declaration of Independence, which is interesting. That kind of response from Colonel Davenport is a response of commitment. Of commitment, of duty, and going ahead with their duty. That is real devotion. As our scripture mentioned this morning, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. It'll be preached by people who are committed and who are carrying out their commitment. And they will wait for the end to come when the time comes. The legislators didn't know when the end would come, and really, neither do we. We don't know when it's going to come. Remember the Jesus statement to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions." Now, some translations say many houses. You can interpret that how you choose. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would have made it clear. But it is so. And I go to prepare a place just for you. Wow. And when I, and where I am, there you may be also. Just recently, we had to make a change of television in our house in order to be able to see some of the good things that God does have for us. And with this different television came along a device, the remote control, but it did a whole lot more than the remote control from the previous set. And it gives us all kinds of things. One thing that it shows in one portion of it is very expensive houses. When I'm talking about very expensive, $50 million or $75 million. Very expensive places. But you know, as I looked at the pictures that they show of those houses, those are cold and unfriendly. Oh, they're beautiful in some respects, but really not what you'd want. The houses, the places that God has gone to prepare, are far better and far different than any of those things that I've seen on that stucco on the television. God has plans for us that will outstrip anything you can think of here in this earth. So rather than to fear the things that are coming, just maybe we need to be faithful in looking to what Christ has for us here and now. Not only what he has for us to enjoy, but what he has for us to do, how he has for us to live, what his plans are for us. We need to work with him. Notice this from Daniel 7. It says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. What a promise. And that promise was given a long time ago. But it's just as valid for us today to look forward to as it was for them when it was given. It's an opportunity to serve God, to do his will, and to share with others the blessings that God has in store for them. John also gave us something to look forward to. He says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I just stop and think about that for a minute. They passed away completely. They're not there anymore. Now the first earth, the earth that we're in, got messed up, to put it bluntly. With all the effects of sin, it really got messed up. I used to be puzzled about some of that because, there's space out there. And how far does space go? Well, the most recent telescopic work that they have done in there is looking a long, long ways out there in space, so far out there in space that you can't see it. And the interesting thing about it is that the further out in space that they are able to get these telescopes to see, the further it goes, the more stars they find, the more satellites they find, the more galaxies. It's amazing everything that's found way, way out there. We can puzzle over what's going to happen, but God has the answer for us. John says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem coming down. We're told that what is really going to happen at that time is the Mount of Olives, which is over just east of the city of Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives is going to flatten out. and make a place for the New Jerusalem to settle down. Now, when you go look in Revelation at the measurements that are given there, if you figure those out, it approximates the size of the state of Oregon. Not exactly, but approximates that. It's interesting. And the Mount of Olives flattens out to allow that big city to be there. And you know, as I have studied that and looked at it, I've had a thought in my head. I can't prove it, but I wonder about it. Is it possible that that city of New Jerusalem, when it comes down to settle on this planet Earth, is it possible that that city is God's throne room? The whole city being God's throne room. Rather interesting. Because God has all the space that's necessary for everything he wants. He doesn't have to put everybody in one space. I have heard lectures and such where they were talking about the heavens and what's going to come and everything. And they talk about, well, there's room for everybody there because they can have apartment buildings. Oh, come on now. Apartment buildings? Forget it. The only apartments we ever lived in was at Andrews University. We did live in apartments there for a little bit. But I don't care for anything like that to live in heaven. I think God's got some plans for us that are so much bigger than that that we can't even dream of it. So don't tell me that New Jerusalem is full of apartments. Doesn't need to be. There's room in God's plan for everybody, for everything. And the idea of New Jerusalem being God's throne room kind of tantalizes me. He's got room for all of us. And this of John's statement goes on to say, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That's interesting too. When you go back and look carefully in the book of Revelation, you find that after the righteous have been allowed to go to heaven and spend time with God there, that there may be and very likely will be crying there. Because there will be recognition of people that are not there, that I wanted to have there. And there's going to be other issues, that there will be sadness. But that's why this says, at this point, when the holy city comes from heaven down to the earth, that there will be no more tears. No more sorrow. All of that will have been dealt with. And it will be cleared up. So there will be no more pain because all those things have passed away. And It says, he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I think we need to underscore in our minds that part that says all things are being made new. Everything. And there's a lot to have that joy of being made new. It's tremendous. And then he told John to write these words because they are true and faithful. So John was told definitely to make sure everybody got the same message. It's a gift. It's God's gift to us, to his people. His plan for you. But I have a question about that. Are you going to be there by yourself? Are you planning to be there, and if anybody else is there, well, so be it. If not, well, that's too bad. What's going on with that? How many people do you know that need to know more about God than they do right now? There's many people that need to learn. And what are you doing? What am I doing to tell them? What are we really working on to tell people about the plans that God has for us and what he's looking forward to sharing with us? How many people do you want to see to be with you in heaven? How many people do you want to be able to give hugs to and to welcome into heaven? It's going to be a glorious time. I've got something that I'm going to have the ushers share with you after we dismiss. They're not going to do it right now. Something that I want you to take a look at, and maybe you too will want to take these and share them with people. You maybe have seen them, maybe you haven't. They're called glow tracks. Very simple little things. Different ones have different topics. The one I happen to have with me this time is making sense of natural disasters. Oh boy, we're dealing with natural disasters right now all over. I mean, if we're not burning up in the west, then we're getting drowned in the east. And there's earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes. I mean, all sorts of things all over our world. And if it isn't tearing up one part, it's tearing up another part. So we've got natural disasters just all over. And this is an interesting folder giving some thoughts of how to think about those natural disasters. And I want you to afterwards to take one, read it, but then plan to share and plan to get some to share. I want to share with you some interesting accounts of other people who are enjoying a relationship with Christ, but people that you would never expect to look forward to that. One, for instance, the Muslim people, their leader, the one that kind of leads out with their activities and stuff, is called an imam. That's his title. And there was an imam that very recently made contact with Adventist radio because he'd heard over the radio, he'd heard them. And he wanted to know more about what was going on. And so he found where the office was. And he made contact with them. He was happy to see the news on there of the fact that Jesus is coming again, and he's coming again soon. He wanted to know more about what was being said there. And so the radio team visited with him, and they started sharing with him, and they've been working on a plan of sharing with him for a while now. And by the time I received this, they were looking forward to the day when he would make his commitment to be baptized. And I'm of the Muslim people, this is unheard of. This kind of a thing never has happened before. In fact, the Muslim people generally are extremely antagonistic against Christians. Not just Adventist Christians, but any Christians. They're very antagonistic against them. And yet, here's this one who came to the Adventist radio station. And he's looking forward to baptism. There were three Muslim men who happened to hear the radio station, and they looked up the station, and they came, and they said, "We heard the message on the coming of Jesus and feel great hope to know that he lives and has promised to come back. Has given us a hope we've never felt before. We want to study what you believe and be baptized." Three of them that came in out of the country. You may have heard of some of the work that has been going on in the Philippines. Absolutely amazing. Because these Filipino people, there were a group of them that wanted to battle with the Filipino government because these people were communists and they wanted to have the communists take over the Filipino government. And so they were in battle with them constantly. And if one of those fellows saw somebody and they realized this was a Christian, boom, he was dead. I mean, in 50 years, they have been responsible for killing over 40,000 people because of their beliefs. I mention this just to give you an idea of the conflict that goes on. And amazing how it has been changing character, especially on the island of Mindoro in the Philippines. Here is a brigadier general with the group that's wanting to throw out the Filipino government. He's a brigadier general. And he said, he came to the folk at the radio station, and he said, "On behalf of the officers and the men of the 203rd Infantry Brigade, allow me to express my profound gratitude and thanks for the warm reception and attention you have bestowed upon our representatives to," you'll be amazed, "to the Seventh-day Adventist 61st Quadrennial Conference." They went to General Conference. And they were very pleased with the warm reception they got there. He said, we were overwhelmed with the great experience and information received by our representatives on their return here to headquarters. Your kindness and generosity and passion to spread the word of God speaks well of you and your organization. You can rest assured that we will remain your partners in sustaining our collective endeavor of uplifting the lives of our brothers and sisters in Mindoro Island, Philippines, until harmony and peace are achieved. From the Brigadier General, the changes that are taking place in some of these areas is really amazing what is happening. It's thrilling when you can get the information and read it and enjoy it and see what's going on. But as I have read it, I've been reading it for quite some time now as I get the different issues of this publication. But as I read this and I see these stories and I get the message, I wonder, why can't we do something like that in America? Why can't the gospel go out to people right here in Canyonville? Right where we live. Right where we function. That's what God would have to do. Have us to do. To get the message out to people right where we live. We can send missionaries out, and I've had fun taking young people out on student missions, and that's great. I support it totally. But let's not just think of it out there. Let's plan it and work it right here where we live and move. And may we share God's message in a strong way here, because let's face it, friends, we enjoy our lives right here. We have comfort. Everybody has some sort of a comfortable living and able to get food and clothes and things taken care of. And our church here is very comfortable. We have a lot of comfortable things. But friends, this isn't anything like what God has in store for us. And we need to let others know of His love, that they too can plan to be a part of His coming kingdom. Let us sing hymn number 310, I Would Draw Nearer to Jesus.
Let's stand together.
I would draw nearer to Jesus, in His sweet presence abide, constantly trying to serve Him, safe and secure at His side. I would draw nearer to Jesus, I would draw nearer to surrender each moment, I would draw nearer to Him. I would draw nearer to Jesus, nothing will